I had the strangest conversation with a woman in CVS the other day.
Somebody you knew or just a stranger you ran into?
100% a stranger.
Okay.
So I have been purposely not wearing my brace the last couple of days, you've noticed. And I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to wear my brace. I tore my ACL and my meniscus. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm supposed to wear this brace every day until I have my surgery.
And you have a fancy brace. Like the first brace you got didn't work well for you. So you got a fancy one that like a football player wears. Well, and I mean, you said it was working.
It was. Now that I have not worn it for 2 days, like it clearly is a better brace. My doctor said it was. I needed this one. So whatever. That has nothing to do with anything. It's a conversation starter for people. And I'm already embarrassed and don't want to talk about my leg and my knee, right?
Sure.
So I'm in CVS and this woman comes up to me and of all things that I have in my hands, I have boxes of tampons. Okay. So already it's one of those situations, even as a woman, like it's fine. You buy them, like you get it. But like it always feels weird when you have to go pick them up. And she comes up to me. She's like, I haven't seen a brace like yours in a long time. She's like, you tore your ACL. I said, yep. And she goes, I tore my ACL 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
So now she wants to talk to you about her injury from 10 years ago.
But truthfully, I always ask because I'm so anxious about the surgery and the recovery. I don't mind when people say that if they've had the surgery too, because I ask them, I'm like, how was your recovery?
Yeah. Right?
She said it took 2 years. She's like, then she whispers, do you want to know the best part though? And I said, what? And she goes, you can get a handicap sticker now.
What?
Yeah. And I go, oh. And she goes, if you ask your surgeon, they will give you the handicap card right now and you can start parking. Even with the holidays, you can park everywhere you want in the handicap.
Oh, come on.
And I'm thinking, like, I'm embarrassed enough that
right.
like I have to like go around like this. Like the last thing I want to do is draw more attention to myself by putting a handicap thing up. Like I can figure out a way to walk the extra 20 feet. I've got this like mechanical leg robot brace thing going on, you
right,
know?
Right.
But what do you do in a situation when a woman is so excited to tell you that you can get the handicap
right,
thing?
That you could skirt the law, really.
Really? You know? and like, I guess, like, she's right. Like, technically, I qualify for it at this point.
Yeah, but morally.
Morally?
Right.
I could figure it out. I could hop on one leg to the front door. I'm strong enough. My left leg is solid,
and
you know?
Maybe that's what you should continue to do.
So what do you do in that situation? Do you say, like, you know what? You're right. Or do you just nod and smile, or do you just take your tampons and check out?
I think you nod, smile, and try and walk away. I really thought the punchline was going to be that she somehow worked the tampons into the recovery conversation, too.
No, that definitely didn't happen.
Just an awkward object that stayed in between you guys.
Right, the whole time we were talking, just holding my ultra tampons in my hand. You know, there's always that wishy-washy guest, the one that never 100% confirms they're coming, when they're coming, because they want to keep the day fluid, but all it's doing is stressing you out.
Yeah, I have a couple friends like that. They do that for virtually every party, every event that we're doing. Thanksgiving, that's a no-no.
Yeah. Who is the worst guest at your party? 1-800-330-9999. For me, it drives me crazy because it's like, are you coming or not? Do I have to plan like a seat for you instead of a setting for you, or is it going to be empty? I don't know why I like find it so incredibly annoying.
You know what drives my wife nuts is the person who calls and says, listen, we're bringing a dish. Is it cool if we put it in the stove for 40 minutes or something like that?
Why?
Right. Like either bring something that's completely ready or leave it at home.
Right.
Don't bring it at all.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's the worst guest at your Thanksgiving?
Worst guest has got to be the person who shows up early before everyone else. You know, I'm like out setting up chairs and somebody shows up and now I have to entertain them as well as get ready for Thanksgiving.
All right.
I feel like there's always at least one. I used to have like an aunt that would just show up all the time. And what are you going to tell her? She's your aunt.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, mine's an aunt too.
And it's just so awkward. Like, and then they just sit there.
Or they want to help. And then you feel guilty being like, well, if you want to help, like, do you want to like clean the toilets?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do? What do you want
like
to do?
Those are the big jobs that I have left over at this point right now.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Worst guest at your Thanksgiving party.
Hi. The worst guest at my Thanksgiving party is the person that gets drunk. And I can't get them out of my house. So I have to call them an Uber and everything for them to leave. And it's just terrible.
Go home, Dad. Jeez. Again?
Again.
I'm sorry. I thought this was America. This ain't America. Can't have fun here. All right. Whatever. I'm just your dad. Go home,
and
then Dad.
You talk junk.
Yeah.
Right? You was always the unruly one. I just fed you and you were in my house.
Right.
That's great. Happy Thanksgiving and good luck.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Worst guest at your Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh my gosh. The person that shows up with like all the dietary restrictions, like gluten-free, nut-free, dairy-free. I'm like, I don't know what to serve them. It's like food-free. Like, do you want food or what?
I mean,
nice tall glass of water. You're good.
You know, pretty serious allergic reaction is also a party damper, though. Right. I get what you're saying.
Right.
It's a pain.
Well, then bring your own food.
Right. You're like, well, how did this happen 20 years ago? You know, so we have the opposite of that. So my grandfather-in-law doesn't have any allergies, but he gets on these kicks, right? So for a minute, he's vegan. For a minute, he's this, he's that, Anna. And they refuse to bring anything that they're not eating at the time. So if he's off sugar, it'll be a sugar-free dessert
that
coming from him.
Terrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of a sugar-free pie?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
You're exactly right. It's a placeholder.
It's just a fruit. Just bring
it's
a fruit.
A joke.
That's what he's doing.
Get a
That's
plate
a
of
joke.
Fruit out of here if it ain't got no sugar in it.
Yep.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. If you are legitimately pushing people out of the way so you can put your hands all over the sweet potatoes, that's all I need to know about you. At the grocery store. Last night, I made a big mistake last night, Raven.
Mm.
I temporarily lost my mind. So when Dakota, my three-year-old, was saying to me, I want strawberries and bread and butter for dinner.
That makes sense. Right.
Right. But, I mean, she's three. I was like, we don't have strawberries or bread and butter. We'll go to the grocery store. But what am I, crazy?
What, are you nuts?
Right before Thanksgiving, yeah. I lost my mind.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So after I fought people in the parking lot for like 20 minutes, I go inside and I see this guy like holding court at the sweet potatoes. It was like he couldn't let anybody near him until he selected them. I felt like saying, you're going to peel them anyway.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, buddy?
I don't know whether a potato is good or not from the outside. I mean, if it's not rotten, like if I can't see something glaring or something growing off of it, I just throw it in the bag.
It's going
to
be fine.
This one next to the next. I'm going to mash them all anyways. What's the difference? And then coat them in brown sugar.
And 16 pounds of butter.
Yeah. And a bunch of marshmallows, too. I mean, honestly, does the quality of the potato even matter?
I'm glad you pushed a child out of the way, though, to get the exact one you wanted. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you are a guest in my home and ask for the drumstick, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, no, you get assigned the drumstick. That is something that is bestowed on you.
You listen, you pay the mortgage for the drumstick. All right. I don't want to hear none of that nonsense. Somebody come over, a guest is asking for the drumstick. You know, your uncle really loves it. I don't care. I see you twice a year. You give me a terrible gift that smells like cigarettes. Get out of here. It's my drumstick.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you come to my place for a dinner and then you leave with too many leftovers, that's all I need to know about you.
Is this Thanksgiving only, though? So, I mean, what are they? I mean, if somebody offers up the food, who are you to say no?
There's a limit to things. Like, of course, if we make a big feast, you want people to take a little bit home. But like my brother-in-law, my sister, last year they showed up. They brought Tupperware.
Mm. Oh, that's over. Presumptuous. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and not just one Tupperware. They brought like a bag of Tupperware, and then they kind of didn't even ask. They just kind of scooped everything up and were on their way. And I was like, okay, you've crossed the line there.
You, sir, were robbed.
Yeah, definitely. You're like, there's always an argument at ours for the tortellini soup because everybody loves the tortellini soup. There's not always a lot left over, and everybody wants to take it home. And then it becomes like, well, how many tortellini did you get?
So do you eat more during the meal because you know less is going to be left over anyways?
100%.
You do it to steal.
I'm good for two bowls every single
year. That's a good strategy.
Now you get preemptive. You steal ahead of time.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait for that tortellini soup.
Right. Get there early and then maybe steal some before anybody sees it being dished out.
That's crazy talk. You're not allowed to touch the tortellini soup before it's served. Everybody knows that.
You'll lose a hand.
1-800-330-9999. You could always call or text. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Politics, vaccines, masking. These are all things you should not talk about at your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, things could get messy pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
People have had a couple glasses of the house wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they start getting a little bit loose of the lips. They haven't hung out with a lot of people in a long time, especially family. Oh, look.
Those are the top three things that can cause arguments at your Thanksgiving table. So we're trying to figure out what are the least divisive topics that you can bring up that, you know what? They're so benign.
Yeah.
You just have a nice conversation. You pour yourself another glass of that cheap Cabernet. You move on with your life.
I've got a few for you, Anna.
Okay.
How about the fact that you can all talk about, at least the guys anyways, about how bad the Lions or the Bears stink? I mean, that's the first game of the day.
Unless you're a fan.
I mean, no, you're not. Okay. The Lions are like 0-9, and the Bears are like, I don't know, something like that, something relatively like that. Okay. I mean, the only great thing about this game is somebody actually has to win it.
Okay.
That's the only good thing about that game.
Fair enough.
It'll keep the guys busy for a little while.
You know what you can talk about?
What's that?
How cute puppies and babies are.
Oh, I love puppies.
I mean, think about it. Like, who's going to be like, that's an ugly baby. That's an ugly puppy.
They do exist, though, ugly babies.
Well, right, but you don't say that
out
loud.
I've seen one or two before
but
in my life.
But nobody at the table is going to be like, no,
yeah,
little Timmy's ugly.
No, you're probably right.
No one's going to say that.
At least while little Timmy is there.
Exactly.
Right, nobody would say that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You could talk about Michael Strahan going to space or Jeff Bezos or who he's going to pick next or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or there's some asteroid thing that launched yesterday or whatever. You could talk about any of that stuff.
It's actually a good topic is would you go to space
right?
if you had the opportunity
there
to.
You go. No.
Right, everybody just has an opinion, but you can't get mad one way or the other.
And nobody can afford it, so who cares?
You know what you can talk about that is very, you know, benign, everybody's cool with it?
What's that?
Traffic, because everyone hates it.
It's true.
Have you ever met somebody that's like, gosh, I love sitting in traffic. It's my favorite thing to do.
But you know what happens is when you start talking about traffic, people start thinking about leaving early. We got to beat the traffic. We've got to go ahead of the traffic. By the way, the traffic will be at any time.
Doesn't matter.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Another benign one right down the middle of the road here. But it could turn into Battle of the Sexes. So it's a little bit edgy.
Okay.
But not too edgy. Who will be the next Bond?
I mean,
should it be a girl? Should it be a guy? Should it be an American?
Should it be a
British?
Dog?
See what I'm saying? Like, I mean, this can go. It's got some legs.
What if they do an all-animal version of 007?
Did you see that they're doing an all-animal animated version of DC Comics?
Oh, really?
So, like, Superman and Batman and stuff?
I mean, sign me up for
that. And it's going to be awesome. The Rock is going to be a voice. John Krasinski, I think, is going to be Superman. It's going to be crazy.
And the last thing that you can talk about at your Thanksgiving dinner that everybody will be on the same page, Betty White is turning 100 years old in January, and she's an American treasure.
Betty White.
We love Betty White.
Just a month ago. All right. Stay healthy, Betty White.
And here's the best part. Whether you're talking to your grandmother or whether you're talking to your like your emo niece, they all know who Betty White is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Vodka and hot dogs. She lives on it.
Yep.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
How do you pace yourself during your Thanksgiving meal? And by pace yourself, I mean don't get so uncomfortably stuffed that you feel disgusting afterwards.
Oh, yeah. That's the hard part, too. And when you're a guest at somebody else's house, guess what else that comes with, Anna?
What?
Immediately, I want to take a nap.
Right. Amy Linus is from Fit Body Vibe. You can visit her online at fitbodyvibe.com. Amy, what are your tips? You're a fitness expert. I know that nutrition is obviously top of mind for you all the time. And like, don't tell me that I can't have extra stuffing, but... What can I do?
All right. I'm not going to tell you that at all. Don't worry.
Okay.
Let me give you some tips that will help you get through. When we, you know, have Thanksgiving dinner, a lot of us kind of think in the mindset of, I'm going to eat like I'm going to the electric chair. Well, that's not the case. So what I would tell you to start with is drink a little bit of water before you have your meal so you have a little something in your stomach, and then get a smaller plate, and don't pile it high. You can always go back for more. And if you space it out, you know, a little bit here and there, then you're not going to be so overly stuffed at one time. So smaller plate, smaller portions, and only grab the things that you really, really like and enjoy. Don't try to make Aunt Mary in the corner happy by eating her bread pudding that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. What if Aunt Mary gets very upset if you don't try her bread pudding?
It's like you're in my house right now. It's like you're there at my Thanksgiving dinner because there are eyes upon me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know the whole napkin trick, right?
No, what? What's a napkin trick?
I think you spit it out in your napkin.
Oh, God.
Yep. Oh, man.
You can't spit things out of the Thanksgiving table?
No, that would be frowned upon for sure, but just smaller portions. And if you want to make her happy, just try to take a little bite here and there of the things that you really don't care too much for. And then another key component would be to have a conversation with someone at the table with you so you're not gobbling your food down. It's another thing I like to say. Graze, don't gobble.
That's actually good advice. Like, right. if you're in a conversation, it's going to slow down your eating. Mm-hmm. But what if you're trying to conversate with a person that's just trying to eat, like me? I'm like, you're talking to me and I'm just kind of grumbling.
They're going to get on your nerves then, aren't they?
Quick question. So earlier you had said to only eat the things you really want. Now, I always heard give yourself a good helping of the turkey because it'll fill you up and it's not really that bad for you in the grand scheme of all the sides that run really high in calories and the pies and all that. Now, I hate turkey and I eat it solely because I believe it's my duty as an American to like shove a solid
well,
piece down my throat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is.
Is that not real? Like, just don't eat the turkey?
No, that's true. That's definitely true. So the turkey is higher in protein, lower in calories. You're exactly right. However, there's L-tryptophan in the turkey that's going to make you really sleepy and tired. That's the main reason, other than overeating, why we all get really tired at Thanksgiving dinner. If you don't like turkey, go for the vegetables because they're very fibrous and they're lower in the carbohydrates. Yeah, some of them might be covered in butter, but not terrible. But load up on those before you start with all the stuffing and all the fun stuff.
Okay, so one, drink a cup of water before you even start eating.
Mm-hmm.
Two, talk to somebody at the table because like if you're talking, you won't eat as much.
It's going to slow you down. True. It's going to occupy your time.
Smaller plates.
Yep.
Yeah, like you brought your own plate.
Right. excuse me, Ryan, I brought my own plate. Your fork is perfectly fine. This will be my plate here. Thank you.
Yeah. And only put stuff on your plate that you really want. Don't force yourself to eat stuff just because you want to make people feel bad.
Don't pile it high.
Exactly.
All good tips. Amy Linus.
You got it.
You can find her online at fitbodyvibe.com or follow her on Instagram at fitbodyvibe.
I'm going to need a few of those pies to take home.
What is your family's unique Thanksgiving tradition? 1-800-330-9999. I love talking about this because Thanksgiving's one of those holidays, Raven, where, you know, it's not like the 4th of July where it's just
fireworks and barbecue and potato salad.
Everybody does the same
thing. Hot dogs, right.
Yeah, it kind of lends itself to having different traditions as the big kickoff to the holiday season. And I think that every family has little quirks or little things that they do are different from everybody else.
Yeah, so in my family, at the end of the night, we kind of kick off the Christmas season by doing a grab bag. And the grab bag is you have to open a gift. We all get around the table, and then the gifts are wrapped, and whoever can first unwrap the gift when it's when you have oven mitts on, that's the tradition. And you get to keep the gift, and they're terrible gifts. Absolutely terrible gifts. And there's like a timer and all that stuff. Yeah, it's fun.
So I was thinking about this, because I know that you do this. How securely do they wrap the gift?
Oh, tough.
Right.
Sometimes, like, I mean, it'll take 6-7 people to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
You end up, like, punching the box or whatever. You know,
good.
The oven mitts don't really lend itself to... you know, getting into the cracks of it, the crevices, if you will.
I didn't even know that this was a strange thing until I got much older, but our family always starts with tortellini soup. And I remember, like, the first time I had brought it up in college, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to eat the tortellini soup.
Yeah.
And I realized not everybody eats tortellini soup.
Right, you thought it was like everybody had to start that way. You were like, well, the pilgrims, they definitely started with tortellini soup. Right.
Yeah.
No, we, you know, it sounds delicious, but we have not done that in my house.
So tortellini soup, you can have it at different times during the year. But
thanks
only,
for the permission.
Right, but only on Thanksgiving is it the clear tortellini chicken soup.
Oh, I see.
And so it's a big deal with the cheese tortellini. Like, yeah.
I see.
So what is your Thanksgiving tradition that you know it's really just for your family? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Well, we always play a game of football, and my dad, who's 75, is always the quarterback.
Automatic QB out there. How do you tell dad that he's losing it, though? He doesn't have the mustard on the sling anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if he can't sling that Duke, then what's the point? Nice spiral. Turns into a duck. All of a sudden, interceptions going either way.
You can't take that right away from him.
What?
That's like the person that cuts the turkey. That's like you. It's his God-given right to be automatic quarterback.
Dad, it's 45-41 in the first quarter. Come on. Pick it up. You're killing us out there. Just shut up and go deep. Right. I love it.
1-800-330-9999. What's your family's Thanksgiving tradition? Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that lends itself to quirky, fun family traditions. What's your family's tradition? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Okay, this is a crazy one. Even though we are divorced and remarried, for the last 20 years, our extended families have always done Thanksgiving together with the new wife and new partner and the kids. So we've never missed a Thanksgiving just because of a divorce.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Do you enjoy it?
Yep. Oh, we love it.
Then awesome.
Oh, we love it, yes. It's amazing, and we've never, even though we were divorced, we've never missed a holiday. We do Christmas mornings together as well, and our kids are in their 30s, and we have grandchildren now, so we've always been for over 20 years.
It's a great example for your family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you for the call, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
If only more people could be that way.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your odd Thanksgiving tradition?
Well, instead of Thanksgiving dinner, we have Thanksgiving breakfast. We always meet up at 9 a.m. at my mom's house, and we have a huge spread of eggs, bacon, lox, bagels, everything. And so we're done with everything by noon.
But what do you do after noon? Do you go get, like, your Christmas tree or something? What do you guys do after that?
We just sort of sit in a food coma.
You don't go shopping?
But don't you get hungry again at 3? It's like eating Chinese food when you have, like, bagel and lox at 9 in the morning.
But they don't.
You get hungry.
You don't
again.
Eat again at 3.
No, it's great. It's so nice to get everything out of the way, and then people can kind of just do whatever they want.
And then they leave. Then they leave and they just go home. That's the end of the day.
What?
Right.
This is so weird to me.
Well,
I do want breakfast, but I mean, still.
See, we don't have breakfast on holidays. Like, I just let my kids starve.
Right.
Like, I'm like, no, 2 o'clock, we're going to go eat. Until then, you just sit here and you can drink some milk. That's it.
That's right. Let your stomach shrink. Right.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your odd Thanksgiving tradition?
Oh, we actually split Thanksgiving. We have, like, the first half, we have Thanksgiving, and then, like, around 6, we exchange gifts for, like, Christmas because, you know, we're not really sure if we're going to see one another for Christmas. We live, like, far apart, so we just do it that way.
You flip to Christmas.
Yeah, but that takes so much advanced planning. You have to have all those gifts ready by Thanksgiving.
I mean, on the other hand, then you're done. Yeah. Then you can just party all Christmas long. Every gift you buy after that can be for yourself.
Yeah.
I do love having the Christmas tree up at Thanksgiving. I've been doing that the last couple of years. So I like the idea of flipping like a switch at 6 o'clock and the lights come on.
Yeah, it's great because then you could do things with the kids, you know, like making decorations and whatnot in the evening.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your odd Thanksgiving tradition?
We have a pie eating contest.
Really?
My sisters and all the kids, like we compete on eating pies. We have cherry, sweet potato, apple, peach cobbler. Like, we have all kind of stuff, and we just eat it.
I'm not going to lie. It sounds fun, but also wasteful of pies. You know, because are you guys doing, like, face in, or are you, like, taking slices and seeing how many slices
no,
a person can eat?
Face in.
That is fun.
Yeah, all the while, like, while we're watching the Christmas story. Like, we have to do that whole scene.
See?
Like,
the movie is my jam. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll try and talk one of my uncles into taking a dive.
I like to tell myself that I'm doing a pie eating competition, but it's just me by myself with the pies.
Wow.
Eating them as fast as I can. I don't know if that counts. Can you make it with Anna and Raven? I mean, I don't know how this is going to go. You know that I am terrible at cooking on the fly. I like to follow recipes, which makes my father very upset since he's a chef. But Chef Plum from the Food Network is joining us. You're going to tell us how to make some simple side dishes, but first you're going to ask us how we would make them.
Yeah, 100%. This is something I've been so excited all week for this.
Here we go.
Go for it.
I'm going to ask you guys a dish, and I want to hear how each of you would then prepare said dish for Thanksgiving dinner. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's start with a delicious cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I would open the can, and then I would take the can, and I would slap it on the bottom, you know? I wouldn't let it, like, something stuck in the can.
Right.
I would slap it on the bottom, and then until it came out, and it slid on the plate in, like, a clump.
Right. And then I would take the knife, and I would slice it.
I gotta tell you, my heart just broke a little bit. This is one of the easiest things to make on the planet, you guys. All you need is one of those bags of cranberries, add 2 cups of sugar to it, a cup of water, put it on the stove, bring it up to a boil. Once you hear it, literally makes this sound. Those cranberries start to pop. Turn the heat off, pour it in a bowl, and let it cool. That is how you make the easiest cranberry sauce on the planet.
Wait, hold
on.
Too
easy.
What's the sound it makes? I didn't hear it.
Sounds just like that when it pops out of the can and falls on the plate, too.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Just like that. It's a vacuum seal
What's
being
next?
Broken.
One of the staples of the Thanksgiving dinner, delicious, buttery mashed potatoes.
Yes, I know how to do this one.
You start.
You get the packet that are usually on sale for 99 cents at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it around and it says that first you boil water, you add some milk, you put the butter in there. Then you put those little magic powder flakes right inside.
I like those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you take your fork and you whip it until it has a thick consistency and serve.
You know what blows my mind is when you get the scalloped potatoes.
Like, what? How do you do that?
It comes out in a powder.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, how'd that happen?
They have sour cream and chive and bacon.
It's
like,
magic.
How did you make that magic happen in this pouch?
Strictly magic.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is not going nearly as well as I had hoped. I just can't believe it. All right, mashed potatoes. Come on, guys. Listen, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your beautiful potatoes, and you can peel them or not peel them. Put them in cold water that is salted. Mm. After they come and get nice and soft, empty the water out, and then let those potatoes sit in that pan until they start to gently flake away from themselves. Little layers of potatoes start to kind of come away. That's the starches separating from the potato. Add some butter. I used to put a pinch of milk, you know, or a little sour cream, and whip them up really good using the beaters that your mom would use when making a cake when you were a kid. I mean, that's the best mashed potatoes in the world. Not this box, open it up, pour it out.
No, they come in pouches now. Pouches, not boxes anymore. This is 2021, Plum.
Beaters my mom used the most were like one of her shoes or a wooden spoon.
Yeah, mine too.
She had either of those in her hand. I knew it was time to get out of there.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we should do a third one now, but all right, here we go. Wonderful sweet potato casserole.
Yes!
Or a mac and cheese. You guys can pick.
They lay like the sweet potatoes down, and then they just pour sugar over it and put marshmallows on it, right?
That's it. That's put it in the oven.
And then they hand me a spoon.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Let's just overdo it.
Perfect.
I want to cook those sweet potatoes a little bit first on their own, and I like to add a pinch of heavy cream to mine before it bakes in the oven. But, yep, that's basically it. And don't forget the marshmallows after it's cooked, then melt the marshmallows on top of it. Mm-hmm. I feel confident that when I come to each of your house for Thanksgiving as you prepare this meal, it's going to be off the charts. I cannot wait to taste some packaged, pouched mashed potatoes. I'm excited.
They make them look like they got scallops on them, bro. It's crazy.
It's incredible.
It's crazy.
99 cents.
They're scalloped.
You guys are nuts.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Christina and Ryan together. Christina, what's going on?
I am supposed to go to my in-laws for Thanksgiving, and I really don't want to have to do that this year. I've hit my limit with the way they keep their house. It's really gross, and I feel like every year it gets worse. The idea of eating dinner from a kitchen like that, I'm so sorry, this sounds so rude, but it's disgusting. They are essentially hoarders. It gives me the creeps going into that house. You know, you walk in and it just smells like cats and dogs, and their dishes are never actually clean, and I'm just talking about it, I'm completely grossed out.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, we've joked about it. They're not, like, dirty. They're just messy. They, like, do rummage sales and buy more stuff than they should, and it's kind of everywhere. I mean, I wouldn't say it's, like unsanitary, though. I don't really know how to respond to that. I mean, it's kind of like an in-law thing. It's not like we're moving there or vacationing there or something. I mean, it's one day. They live in town. It's not some big trip. She, by the way, very type A. Our place is spotless. Dirty to her is she could work for, like, the Department of Health.
Ryan, your parents are borderline hoarders. I don't even know if we're necessarily going to have, like, a place to eat this year.
Well, okay.
I offered to have it at our house.
I'm not quite sure why we can't, like, tough it out for 4 years. I don't like it there. It gets claustrophobic. They're my parents. You've married into this for a 4-hour period. We can sit and have something to eat, and then we'll go out to a bar after and joke about it.
Ryan, how come you guys can't just do it at your place? Your parents won't come there?
They're insistent that, you know, I did it last year and they want to do it this year. And I would be happy if it was just always at our house. God, the idea of what they're going to make that turkey in. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, what we do here is we put things to a vote, and we can see what our audience has to say. If they agree with you, Christina, if you're that grossed out, then maybe, Ryan, you need to have a conversation with your parents saying that you'd like to take over having the holidays at your home. Just say that you would feel more comfortable that way. I don't know how you nicely tell your parents that. I have to be honest.
Right. But, I mean, they're going to suspect they know what you're saying.
Right. But they may agree with you, Ryan, and I think a lot of people might. And just say, it's 4 hours. Suck it up. Go deal with it. And just skeeve it, but deal with it.
Totally.
Do you guys both agree? Agree to listen or to audience has to say?
You bet.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
And she says to her husband, Ryan, this year, I can't do it anymore. Your parents' house is dirty. They're hoarders. There's stuff everywhere. It's always tight. Like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, but it's my parents. What am I going to do? This is how they are.
Ryan acknowledges the fact that the house is tight, that it's a little bit paranoid. But he does say, overall, it's actually clean. They just are collectors. They go out. They do these estate sales, stuff like that. They buy way too much stuff.
They're hoarders.
there's a difference between being dirty. Mm-hmm. She used the word disgusting, and he said it's actually sanitary. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Well, we don't really
These
know
are real
the truth.
Things.
Right, but if she feels that uncomfortable about it, what do you think? Should she spend Thanksgiving there? Couples Court, Sienna and Raven.
I'm definitely on her side this morning. I don't see why if she's offering to have it at her house, why they can't have it at her house. If it seems like there's more room and all that stuff, all you really have to say to the in-laws is just, hey, listen, we got married. We want to start family traditions of our own. You know, if we potentially have kids, we want to have a steady place where we celebrate our own Thanksgiving, and we want you to join us. And kind of introduce it like that.
All of that makes sense. Unfortunately, all of this is attached to emotion, and seldom does that ever work out. But you're absolutely right. They should be able to do that, but they won't be.
But I feel like it's always interesting because people are very protective over their holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy.
It's the source of the biggest arguments. It's tense every single year.
I never want to host an event at my house. I don't never want to deal with that stress, and I never understand why people are so passionate about it.
They really are.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Christina uses the words that her in-laws' house is disgusting. They're hoarders, dirty. But Ryan, her husband, says they just have a really lot of stuff and it's cramped. But the thing is, Christina doesn't want to go there for Thanksgiving. She says that it's just not the way she likes to spend the holidays. It kind of makes her feel icky.
Yeah, unfortunately, around the holidays, everybody wants their family to come to their house. I know very few that want to travel. You said you enjoy going to other people's houses, but a lot of people, they're very territorial when it comes to these holiday things here. And it's tough when you got in-laws. Somebody's feelings are probably going
to
be hurt.
Right. So what do they do? What do they do in this situation? Is Ryan right? You got to go to my parents' house. It's the way it is. Or is Christina right? If I really don't want to go there because I'm grossed out, I shouldn't have to. Couples Court, 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Hi. I definitely wouldn't be able to go to the in-laws. I'm a life insurance examiner, and even just being in a house an hour that's slightly dirty, I get really itchy and steeped out. I would opt to have it at our house and insist, and I wouldn't be able to deal with it for over an hour, get alone 4 hours. It would just be too much.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on his side. I get it that the plates are dirty and that it's not sanitary, but this is the family. We had an aunt who cooked, and she was the worst cook. So we learned to just push our food around on our plates and go eat dinner afterwards.
That's one way to go about it.
That's what you have to do with family sometimes, right? Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think I'm more on his side today. I feel like I know they both know that the house is like that, so maybe she can prepare ahead of time and make a specific dish that she knows that she wants to eat, and then she knows maybe it's no more, I don't know, sanitary? I don't want to use the wrong word, but make sure she knows there's a good dish or a dessert that she will eat.
And Ann Raymond, whose side are you on?
I am on his side. She has to consider herself thankful that she is family to go to. Not everyone can say that. And maybe she could, like, talk to them and ask if there's anything she could do to help. Come early, tidy up, or come the day before and help them clean up.
Maybe she should show up with her vacuum cleaner.
I don't know if that's
right. You know what I mean?
In
a bucket and some bleach.
I think she makes a good point, though. Sometimes it's not about the food. It's not about being there. It's just about supporting your family. And it looks like that's what she's going to have to do.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ryan, our audience agreed with you. Christina, sometimes you got to take one for the team and you just got to show up and smile and be quiet. And that's going to have to be the way it is. It's your in-laws. It's 4 hours. You'll be okay.
Yeah. One and done.
Man, I'm totally bummed. But at least I know next year it'll be at my place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you bring yourself a little snack satchel. All right. You steal a couple bites in the bathroom when you go by yourself, which is almost equally as disgusting.
Right.
And yeah. And you don't take any to-go containers. Next year, you're in the clear.
Right.
All right. I'm done.
Thanks, guys.
You have a problem, too. Send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Keith, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Keith.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. But here's the thing, Keith. Jackpot today if you beat him, $1,300. You ready to play?
Absolutely.
Number one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says that he'd like to play James Bond in a future 007 movie. What actor played James Bond in the 1995 film GoldenEye?
Sean Connery.
Number two, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is back in New York City. Who is historically the last person or character in the parade, except for once in 1932 when he led the parade?
Santa.
Number three, Michael Strahan will be on the next Blue Origin flight to space on December 9th, and that's going to be making him the tallest person to ever go to space at 6'5". His second Super Bowl win came when the Giants beat what team 17-14 in Super Bowl 43?
The Patriots.
Number four, John Batiste has the most Grammy nominations this year with 11. Justin Bieber, Doja Cat, and her scored 8 each. John Batiste is the band leader for what late night host?
No idea.
Time's up, yep. And number five, what rapper picked up 3 Grammy nominations, which means he now has a total of 83 nominations, the most nominations of all time?
Eminem.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Keith got 2 out of 5.
Okay, Keith. Not too great. Let's see how I do. $1,300.
Number one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he'd like to play James Bond in the future 007 movie. What actor played James Bond in the 1995 film GoldenEye?
That's Pierce Brosnan.
I'm a big fan of The Rock, but here's the thing. Like, you already get to do everything else.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that, too.
Yeah, James Bond should be British, too. I don't care. Man or woman, any color, but should be British. It's a British character.
Number two, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is back in New York City. Who is historically the last person or character in the parade, except for once in 1932 when he led the parade?
Santa!
Yes.
I know him!
Number three, Michael Strahan will be on the next Blue Origin flight to space on December 9th, making him the tallest person to ever go into space at 6'5".
And there's going to be 5 other people in that one. It's not that big of a spaceship.
He's real cramped. His second Super Bowl win came when the Giants beat what team 17-14 in Super Bowl 43?
Just take a shot and say the Patriots.
Yes.
Yes.
Number three, John Batiste has the most Grammy nominations this year with 11. Justin Bieber, Doja Cat, and her scored 8 each. John Batiste is the band leader for what late night host?
Stephen Colbert.
Yes. Number five, what rapper picked up 3 Grammy nominations, which means he now has a total of 83 nominations, the most nominations of all time?
It's one or the other. I'm just going to guess that it's... God, taking a shot here. I'm going to guess it's Drake.
No.
It's Kanye?
No.
No, it's neither? Who is it?
Jay-Z.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize he had the most noms ever. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, well-deserved.
All right, Keith. He beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Awesome. Thank you. It's Keith, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, Keith. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro.
We'll take a holiday break. Back on Monday, jackpot will be $1,400.
That's a lot of money.
Raven and I took over a 5th grade class, and we decided we would ask them some questions about Thanksgiving.
If your stove was broken, how would you cook a turkey?
Slap it.
You slap it?
Yes. There you go.
Does slapping generate heat?
Yes. That's where you get red marks whenever you get slapped.
Oh!
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
No.
No. I have no idea.
Right.
I mean, but again, said without hesitation.
Yeah. Slapping the turkey. It sounds dirty.
Most kids ponder. They're like, and this one was just like, slap it.
You slap that turkey.
Immediately.
Yeah.
What is a giblet?
Sounds like a gerbil. Those little hamster things.
I find it very funny that you ask so many of these poor children about what a giblet is, since you actually have no idea whatsoever.
Well, educate me. I mean, I'm here. We're over at the library area. Like, tell me something.
Giblets. Or is it? Yeah, giblets.
I don't know. Giblet, giblet,
you
whatever.
Kept saying giblet, so yeah. I was getting all confused.
Is there a difference?
Well, because a giblet is like an edible organ. So like that's like the gizzard or the liver, the neck, the kidney, the heart. Like it's like that kind of yucky stuff.
You were just going to do stuff that rhymed with gizzard.
No. You were getting me confused because a gimlet is a drink.
Yeah.
It's a cocktail.
No, I know what a gimlet is.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
I've
good.
Had one of those.
All right,
that
good,
I have experience
yeah.
with. If your stove is broken, how do you cook a turkey?
You put it on fire.
Put it on fire?
You get a match.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not like on a grill, like just set the turkey on fire.
Yep.
I don't think that would actually work. Do you think that would work?
I mean, it's going to be charred. It's going to be messy. It's going to take time. And you got to rotate it. By the way, the giblet is a form of giblet.
All right.
According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Nature.
Nature?
Yes.
What do you like most about nature?
The trees, the flowers, the birds.
I like her.
Ari was so nice. She was so nice.
And smart, right?
Yes, really, really, really smart.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what a giblet is? What's a giblet or a giblet?
I think my mom ate it once. I'm not sure.
You think your mom ate it once?
Yeah.
That would be your full description of a giblet?
Yeah.
How would you cook a giblet, you think?
You would boil it.
Seems safe.
Not for nothing, but she's probably somewhat right.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna,
she was smarter
liver,
than me.
Yeah. I like, she just defaulted. Like, my mom has giblets all the time.
She was like, yeah, my mom's done everything at one time or another, and she survived it.
Yep.
If your stove was broken, how do you cook a turkey?
You could use a crock pot.
You can use a crock pot.
He nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
It's really smart.
What is a giblet?
Maybe candy?
I wish it was candy. Then I was thinking about goobers. Goobers are candy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a stove and you didn't have an oven, how could you cook a turkey?
Basically, so I would go out in the woods, go camping. I would get sticks, fire them up, and then put the chicken in there.
She said put the chicken in there, but not for nothing. I don't even know what she's talking about. Like, I wouldn't know how to start a fire like that, you know?
She already had a plan, fifth grade.
Yeah. And this one, I'm just confused.
How do you cook a turkey if your oven's broken and your stove is broken?
There's a microwave. I mean, you can possibly cut it up in pieces and put it in a microwave. Or if you want it in a whole stove, you could, like, take off body parts and then you can put each body part in the microwave one by one. If you don't have time to do that, just, like, chop pieces and you still have turkey left. I mean, it's still turkey.
What?
I mean, I think that the theory is sound, but I mean, we don't need to be dismembering things like that.
It got real graphic. Got
maybe
going to
be a butcher.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What time do you eat your Thanksgiving dinner?
2:30, something like that. People arrive about 1:30 usually. And if it takes any longer than that, I start getting anxious.
Right. So, okay. Kind of me too, but the way my family does it is a little bit different. Mm. But this comes up because Kevin Hart was on Live with Kelly and Ryan, and he freaked out about what Ryan Seacrest said.
What time do you eat?
2:30.
2:30. You eat at 2:30?
Yeah, the average American eats at 4.
Are you kidding me? With Thanksgiving?
No, it's, I can come to mine and yours.
Dinner's at like 8. Eat at 8 p.m.
You got it all wrong.
8 o'clock at night?
8 o'clock at night.
What?
That would be really rough for me.
Oh,
I mean, are
they
doing activities all during the day? You're going to have to keep me busy.
They gotta smell it the whole day?
That's the biggest problem. If I wake up smelling it, like, oh, that's going to be terrible.
So the national average is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I did some research, but we did our own study here. Like, over the last few songs, we asked you to text in on what time do you have it? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, and for the most part, everybody eats at like 2:30.
Yeah.
Some people said 4 o'clock right before the Dallas game. A few people said 6 o'clock. But I would say an overwhelming majority, over 75%, said around 2 o'clock is that golden hour where you start eating.
My wife is starting to actually put together sides today. And you know, desserts and stuff like that. The baking is already going to be begun. So it's going to be nearly impossible for me to get through any later than I'm already, you know, expected to tomorrow.
But do you have courses? Or does everything just get put on the table and you eat?
I think everything goes out pretty much. Well, let me take that back. I mean, obviously, there's like appetizers and stuff out when people arrive.
Right.
And some people bring some things in. Usually, those are some things that are brought in. So that spread is out for maybe an hour. But that's really just to time out when all the food is coming out.
Yeah.
Two stoves helps. So if you have two stoves, two ovens or whatever, you know, on one floor or the other, and you're able to do that, then it kind of coordinates things a little bit better.
You know, we had a caller yesterday who said that their dinner takes like oh, it only takes 15, 20 minutes. And I was like,
that's crazy.
Because I think about it. And my family, we do things in these courses. And I'm not sure if we're the only ones that do this, but it starts with the antipasta, right?
Yeah.
So you have all the prosciuttos and the mortadellas and the cheeses and all that. And that goes for a solid 40 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And then you get all excited because it's time for the tortellini soup. And that's the next course.
So you guys do the tortellini soup. Right. You have the special soup thing.
Then comes the turkey with all the sides and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's fruit and nuts. You have, which I hate the fruit and nuts course. I've been begging my family for years.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of this.
Who needs the fruit and nuts?
Expel this tradition of fruit and nuts.
Like, who cares?
I mean, you're... It's not like you have to rush to get to the fruit and nuts. I mean, you're still probably digesting turkey at that time.
Oh, my gosh. And then you finally get to the dessert. It's like you have to do the fruit and nuts to get to the dessert. And at that point, we've been sitting at the table for 4.5 hours.
I mean, that's a typical Italian affair.
I guess so.